Welcome to the Virtual Villa podcast powered by the Zimunique. We are exercise and nutrition scientists, physical therapists, and performance coaches, but most of all, we are passionate about cycling and immersed in the virtual cycling community. Our goal is to inform, inspire, and challenge you. Come take a conversational ride with us. My name is Ken. I'm your host, and it is great to be back again this week. With me, I have Joy and Chris, our regulars, and Nathan is joining us again. We do have a special guest. We're going to introduce you to you in just a minute. So let's go around, catch up with everybody. Joy, how are things?
Fantastic. Getting ready to take a week off of the bike. So that's kind of exciting, actually.
Nice. And what's the purpose of that?
Vacation. Going hiking the Appalachian Trail and just relaxing some.
Nice. So do you hike? Is this your first time hiking the trail?
No, I hiked in Shenandoah last year, and this year is going to be up in the White Mountains in New Hampshire.
Got it. So are you trying to do the entire trail and sections?
Oh, gosh. No. That sounds great on paper, but no.
Got it. I have a good friend of mine. He's doing, him and his son are doing the entire thing right now. And so like they started it around the halfway point and they're hiking all the way north. Then they're flying back to the halfway point and then hiking all the way south. And they're doing this like to avoid big crowds and to avoid certain weather and bug issues that can happen up north. Like, you know, if you start at certain times of year. So I thought it was pretty interesting.
I've met some through hikers and that's next level crazy. It's amazing. I think, you know, if you can take a few months off and just hike the whole thing, it's great. But it's, yeah, that's a commitment for sure.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. And Chris, how are things with you?
Well, speaking of commitment, my life is consumed by my little bike ride coming up. I'm taking 60 days to ride across the country. So it's so much stuff. Like we started planning like a year ago. Like actually sat down and started planning a year ago. Mm-hmm. And to think that it's less than a week away now is really
It's
getting real. You know, like every little like ache and pain that I have now, I'm just like freaking out. And it's just, you know, when my stomach starts gurgling, I'm like, oh no, I'm not gonna be able to make it. I got all these different things that are going on now. But you know, my bikes are out there, all my stuff is out there. So the only thing that's not out there is my wife and I. So.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's pretty cool. It really is.
That's a trip. I mean, I read a really interesting book about a guy that journaled his trip on Ride the Divide. Nathan, help me out here. What's the name of that bike race?
A Race Across America.
Tour Divide. That's it. Yeah. Tour Divide. Yeah. So the guy that won it like 7 or 8 times, Matthew Lee, is a local, lives right around here. So that's kind of cool. But anyway, the book that I read about this guy that had done that, it was pretty amazing. But he was riding like 20 hours a day, 18 hours a day, and had done it in just a matter of weeks. But he had like gut distress and, you know, saddle sores and all kinds of other issues. Yeah,
sounds fun, right, Chris?
Yeah, I get to. Yeah, I'm not doing that.
Yeah, maybe next year. And he journaled his diet and what he ate. I mean, he would go in and order like 3 cheeseburger entrees at Applebee's or something like that. I mean, it was insane what this guy was eating.
Yeah, I'm not doing that either.
Yeah, cool. All right, well, we look forward to hearing all about it. Let's boot over to Nathan. So Nathan, as many of you know from Zwift Community Live, joined us last week. But what we'd like to hear a little bit more about is about your cycling career, and you know a little about your family, your gaming background. You know, let it rip for a second.
Sure. So a little bit of family life background. Dad, 5 kiddos. Grew up in southeastern Wisconsin area, Midwest for where the rest of the world. If you know the U.S., Milwaukee, Madison area. Went to school in Madison for a while. Went to school in the Milwaukee area for a while. I graduated Carroll University with a degree in religion and philosophy eventually. I really like school, actually, so a solid 4 years in traditional biblical studies, and then beyond that, there were 6 years jumping around between degrees, jack of all trades, and university in a lot of ways. Was going to be a teacher actually for a while. That changed up and then ended up just going into a lot of why questions. My gaming background, I've been gaming since I was about 5 years old, maybe a little earlier. Part of the questions that we had actually in pre-productions here was like, Nathan, have you always liked tech? Because that looks like a lot of tech stuff that you're doing there. And my answer was, when I first had to connect the Nintendo to the back of the TV, I figured out there's a whole thing going on here that I wanted to know more about for some reason. And from there, whenever there was a technical issue in the house, I figured out how to solve it. Like it was, and whenever it had especially to do with media, some reason I just gravitated for that. The first time that there was a VHS camera in the house, boom, I got a Pinnacle software onto my, it was called Pinnacle at that time. I don't know if that software even exists anymore. Put it on a computer, start editing video, right? I made the family video for some trips that we did for my whole family. So, I mean, that also kind of goes into my gaming background where I've just always kind of been attracted to media like that and like to play with it, either if it was competitive or gaming or, you know, doing something cool that was able to show people something awesome with memories, always awesome there. That was always hobby, though. Work history, right out of high school, I managed a restaurant for a little while. And then I was telling a story of coming out of like drugs and alcohol a bunch and, you know, giving my life to God at that time. And then that went on to giving to mentoring kids at risk in with like some state slash private organization programs that were helping get adult figures in at-risk youth life. So I did a mentoring for a solid 7 to 8 years, actually, while going to school and developing my pro cycling career. Became pro in cycling around 2007, 2008, while I was going to school and mentoring at the same time. And from there until 2015 is a big transitionary time of like graduating, coaching, developing division cycling, kind of out of my religious studies because traditional stuff and sport go really, really good together when it comes to ideas about that. And then Zwift in 2015. And I hope that's enough background with work.
And that's a good start. That's a great start. And so we're really happy to have you. And it's a really interesting and convoluted pathway to how you got here.
So yeah, all over the place, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Definitely all over the place. I probably started more questions than answers there.
Right. Well, not to keep our audience in any more suspense, let's tell you, we want to tell you a little bit about our guest today. David goes by Dave Towle. Many know Nathan is the voice of Zwift Esports, but our guest is believed by many to be the voice of American cycling. So Dave, if you'd like to introduce yourself and tell us a little about your story, your cycling story, how you became a cycling announcer, and about your career.
Yeah, thanks for having me. My story is nowhere near as complex or cool as Nathan's, to tell you the truth. Growing up in Boulder, Colorado, my parents were in academia. We bounced around a lot, but ended up in Boulder when my dad took a job there in the mid-70s, right? So this is just as the Red Zinger is getting going, and this is the beginning of the modern era of racing in America. And it just so happens that our next-door neighbor was the race director for the Zinger Coors Classic. And there's a really great book called Outliers by Malcolm Gladwell. I'm sure a lot of folks have read that, to tell you the truth. And that was sort of my micro version of that. Or I actually saw Almost Famous last night, and it really reminded me of my experience as well. As far as I was this kid in the right place in a very magical time in Boulder, Colorado, which has a, you know, that kind of worldwide reputation as a cycling city. Davis Finney grew up, you know, I went to high school with, you know, it was in the DNA of the town, not just cycling, but world-class athletics. There's more Olympians per capita in Boulder than any other city in the world. So that gives you a good perspective. You know, the number of PhDs and Olympians in that town are made. I don't live there anymore, actually. I live up in Fort Collins. But that being said, the Soviets came to the Coors Classic in 1981. This is right in the heart of the Cold War. and Gorbachev and Reagan and all of that, and their Olympic team. They won every gold medal you could, and it was the road race gold medal winner, the team time trial gold medal winners who came over, and I got to hang around with them, and I just fell in love with cycling. And this is a couple of years after Breaking Away had come out, so cycling was just a huge part of my life. And then see, that's where, I guess, to be fair to myself, everybody has their story, and Nathan's has a lot of different things going on, and mine has been more kind of traditional cycling person, right? I've worked in bike shops. I've been a mechanic for up until about 20 years ago. I was a bike mechanic, and then I kind of kicked into the announcing thing with the beginning of Tour de Georgia. And so ultimately, I think that's how I define myself now, to wrap this up, is I've announced every edition of the Amgen Tour of California, so all 15 years of that event. I announced every Tour de Georgia, every Tour of Missouri, every Tour of Ireland, every Tour of Utah that existed. Every start, every finish of those races. And some of them have 10 to 14 year runs. And this will be the first year that I haven't done Tulsa Tough, because I'm gonna be doing all of the Belgian Waffle rides. So kind of transitioning now into doing more of the Belgian Waffle rides and Steamboat Gravels and these kind of events, because traditional stage racing in America is all but dead at this point. So you have to pivot, reinvent yourself, and working with Nathan to bring it all home at Zwift Community Live has been a huge part of the last few years for me, and really consequential in a positive way in my life. And I really appreciate having Nathan as a colleague.
Well, that's fascinating to hear about all of those races that you've announced and your background coming up through cycling. So I believe, isn't Jonathan Voiters from EF Education from Boulder?
Voiters, yeah. He's a Denver guy. Okay. They used to have their office in Boulder, EF. What was that? Garmin or Slipstream was the organization.
Slipstream Sports. I think it's still Slipstream.
They used to have, right in downtown Boulder, they had an office. But Christopher, it was so sweet meeting you in Long Island.
I wanted to speak about that because I felt so horrible. I got to meet Dave in person a couple of times, actually. I met him in New York City, and he probably doesn't remember, during the joint venture that Wahoo, and it's actually kind of funny to say that now, Wahoo and Zwift did together. But then recently I met him on the island, and it was the crappiest day. It was spitting rain. And the place that he ended up going to was not the most scenic part of Long Island. I'm just trying to be nice.
I felt like I was in The Sopranos. It felt like...
it's not the nicest part of the island. If you would have went 5 miles in either direction, it's like paradise. But he's setting the stage. And they're I don't know if you've ever been to any of these events, but they're, two people that barely ride a bicycle are racing together. And I think that the hardest part that Dave has is to prevent them from having heart attacks, right? Yeah. He sets the stage and he's telling people about Zwift, and I'm moving up to the front and he's looking at me and telling me all about Zwift, and my wife is just looking at me and I'm looking back at her. I'm like, I don't think he knows who I am. But eventually he figured it out, because we had just done the interview together that I published on the Zimunique. And after I had an opportunity to let him know that I had a pretty good idea about what Zwift was about, then we got along swimmingly.
I was explaining to Christopher that for $15 a month, you can get a subscription. It's really super fun. I think you'll enjoy it, right? We do. Nathan and I have done a lot of those events actually through the years. It's really fun connecting with people out there. That's a great example, Christopher, because you and I spoke, and I would even say had developed a relationship as far as communicating with each other. But I still didn't know what you look like. Right. And that's the thing that I think we missed out on the most during COVID, was there was something about that tactile, in-person meeting and just seeing how tall a person is or whatever it is about them. Right. Or see how lovely Joy's smile is in person. Right.
Well, the whole thing is that people have asked me after I posted that I met you, and it's like, is he as funny in person as he is on the broadcast? I'm like, no, he's funnier. More charismatic, more fun, funnier, a presence in the room. It was a highlight meeting you. It really was.
Well, with all due humility, Christopher, I'm going to jump in and bring Nathan in on this, because nobody's going to be funny or happy 100% of the time. And Nathan and I experienced a toll booth situation in Washington, D.C. when we were returning. So we'd done about 12 hours of announcing at the Alzheimer's event a couple of weeks ago in D.C. And I'm going to say right now, Nathan, back me up. Well, you know what? I'm not going to put words in your mouth. But I feel like the Washington, D.C., Northern Virginia, the way that they've set up these toll roads and they force you to travel with quarters, which I thought was interesting in this day and age, like, Nathan, didn't that seem a little bit much, the whole process of just trying to get through, navigate?
It was interesting. It was definitely, they could have had a billboard at least that said, explaining download the app.
Process.
Could, if, that would have been, that would have been, I felt for you, Dave, because I wasn't driving. It was Dave's vehicle, you know, that was rented. And, you know, now we have a joke. At least there isn't a toll booth. Is there an app for that? Is there an app for that?
So Nathan starts downloading this app. And so, you know, I'm blocking now DC traffic. And Nathan, you could feel the pressure behind us, right, in that moment. Oh, yeah. Like the guy in the pickup truck was like reaching for his
the pressure.
You know, so, yeah. So anyways, and again, though, Nathan and I had a chance to hang out in person for a couple of days in DC. And that was really valuable. To be able to be with someone. So I think that I love what we do virtually, but there's something about the whole process involves having real contact as well.
Now, when you talk about, you know, contact with people, you know, that's kind of like brings me to the first topic as we kind of like dive into this. I know, Nathan, when did you feel that you wanted to like have a co-commentator, like, you know, at what stage during the whole development did you think about that? And then, you know, what kind of qualities, and I know eventually it led to, you know, Dave being involved, but, you know, what was the whole genesis and background behind that and your thinking process?
Yeah, there's a lot of meandering, actually, to be honest, because the first time I had a guest on was on the Nathan Guerra Twitch channel. And we were just riding along and having an interview type conversation out of kind of nowhere. It was just kind of like, hey, jump into Discord and we'll start talking. And then we just started talking. I think it was me and Lewis Dinsdale, maybe, or it was a community member. It's still probably up on my YouTube channel way back, and some stuff that's not well produced at all. It's just me riding around hanging out. And all the questions that you would think of in a podcast started coming up. And I was like, this is really interesting. And that probably was the first time I had someone as a guest. And then we started doing the race broadcasts, and slowly we started introducing personalities more through like watching them ride, you know, and watching them interact with the game. But it naturally lended itself to having conversations. And it was kind of the expectation for the first 2 years, year and a half of ZCL and race broadcasting was solo commentary and the idea up front was we want to serve as many time zones as possible. And so I was running solo commentary usually on the European/Americas. 1 p.m. is the high peak time for viewership. Like, that's kind of what you aim at. That's when everyone's going to be riding at similar times when it came to English-speaking populations. And then it was like the evenings are always the quietest Americas, late Americas, or early morning Europe. So those times we didn't usually have a broadcast unless Australia had something going on in our summer. And then Jesper Anker actually is an individual that some may remember who jumped into my early Twitch streams and really liked what I was up to. And was like, whoa, this is cool. And you're a gamer. And he also played some of your games to me. He was really into cycling, and he was running a website at the time, it's a meme account, and I'm not remembering the meme account. And it was kind of a meme account, but it did both. It did meme account stuff and cycling stats and cycling information stuff. And he owned that website actually, and he always wanted to be a commentator. And next thing I know, like, we're inviting him in, and he started doing a little co-commentary with me, and he took over the early morning European or early morning America and midday European broadcast whenever we had like a EU thing going on. Like, 1 year we had the Tax and Saris sponsored series, right? And those two series ran at different times, and one served Europe and one served Americas. They both had finals. We had the tax finals and we had the SARS or the Cyclops at that time finals in America, as their American brands and European brands. And so then there was kind of a moment, and Dave's introduction kind of almost became the moment, to be honest, where it was like, you know, we need a lead. And all we were ever looking for was a lead in commentary, because we just needed to make sure a show happened at different times. It's certain times. Then it was like, you know, you start putting together more pieces of the puzzle of putting a good narrative together and a good show together and making people constantly feel served on a nonstop basis in order for them to feel like they're a part of a conversation. And Zwift and people who know Dave at Zwift were really interested in introducing Dave and was like, hey, Nathan, like, let's bring him in. And getting Dave set up with the right tech and how to get involved with Zwift and knowing Zwift, like, those took a couple of different introductions. And Zwift kind of, like, pushed that into the reality of what the show would be, though. And me and Dave ended up starting interacting then through that. And the idea of – I mean, before that, we had the idea of color. We had the idea of, like, playing different roles. But it wasn't a mainstay. It wasn't, like, always kind of the expectation that you would have this lead in color. So – yeah, I don't know, Dave, what was it, 2 years ago? 2 years ago in a couple of months, I think, the introduction?
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, Go ahead, Dave, you go ahead then. Like, I want to hear your side of that then, for sure.
Well, yeah, it's fascinating. So Nathan built this whole thing long before I came along, right? And I was at the World Championships in England, Yorkshire. Boy, it seems like a lifetime ago, 2019. And the team there, Steve Beckett, James Lalonde, and that crew were so gracious. And really, I mean, there's certainly one thing that I have learned in the last, I'd say even 5 years really of my life, is that gratitude is really important. And I am so grateful for, one, them getting me in the door with Nathan, but then the time that Nathan really undersells the tech element of how hard it was to get me up to speed. And, you know, just like, it's always a challenge with the tech stuff. And Nathan is really, really gracious in his ability to help work through things and not get frustrated with me or the situation and all of that. So that's been really cool. And then on the plus side for me, I felt like what I really brought, and I think Nathan would agree with this, is that especially with the American-based racers, but a lot of some of the Europeans as well, is more of the backstory and start filling in the entire production and the show. And then what really the magic, Nathan, I think happened, to tell you the truth, when we started and we had a sit down, because Nathan had to teach me a lot. It's funny when I look back on the process, and I won't even watch the early YouTube stuff because so bad in my mind of just like that process is brutal. I feel much better about things these days. But one thing that I brought to the table that was not helpful in a major way was critiquing the how this all works and why this isn't more like in real life racing, and expecting to be able to replicate having start lists and all of the things that I would expect going to a race. And Nathan, I think that you get that perspective too, right? Like at an in real life race, if you don't have a start list and these things, it's really hard to do your job. In esports, you have to be much more creative. You have to be much more flexible, and you have to have a much better attitude, to tell you the truth, to be able to get the broadcast out there. And you see, like, Bob Roll doing the NBC Sports productions, where they struggle with tech all the time in real-life broadcast. It's gotten worse, not better, to tell you the truth, in the last, you know, half. I mean, go back and watch a 1985 Tour de France coverage, and they've got a helicopter, they've got Le Mans and Eno, and you can see every pedal stroke. These days, you're lucky to get that kind of action. So that being said, it's been quite a process to get to where you're somewhat comfortable with the tech and understanding what's in front of you. And I am really glad I took the journey, to tell you the truth.
So tell me a couple of female co-hosts that you've had and how it changed the dynamic of the production.
Yeah, so early on, we did have some introduction. I mean, Carissa Min, who's a mainstay in the Zwift community as far as the online social media groups, she was one of the first that we brought in for a female personality. And the main thing that I would say is the when it comes to personalities in a show, the attachment of the audience to that person in relationship to them, being able to relate to them, their experience, what they're sharing, it was the main thing that stuck out to me, was that the women who are in the viewership immediately were like, Carissa, and like started interacting with Carissa directly, you know. And then from there, the introduction of the powerhouse that is Anna Russell was was a no-brainer, because she's so excited about esports. She's total tech oriented, and she just kind of went for it in this Kiwi just get it done style, you know, coming out of New Zealand. So and again, the part that I feel like is the idea of having a voice for certain people is really the biggest role that's played there, in my opinion, that their perspective can completely get shown off, and you know that it's authentic, it's real, and it can relate 100% what Anna's experience is through Zwift and the celebration of that with a women's presence. So, and from there, I think Kate Bates also did right around the same time, but Kate got introduced maybe a little bit earlier, but just strictly as talent and not from a productions and be able to run. Because Anna was already like, I'm going to do my own live streaming. And she was kind of had like the same experience of what Aya had, where she was trying to build her own personal channel and do some streaming work on her own. And then that got noticed. And then she jumped in to that into the streaming and productions and being able to carry a broadcast when it comes, because I think not just being a lead, but also being able to carry a broadcast production when it comes to live streaming is the whole other side of things that gives somebody a little bit more purview or competency around what's all going down. Go ahead, though. Go ahead.
I was just going to say that, I mean, I really appreciate that Nathan, so, you know, as you note, Joy, half of the crew is women, right? And Kate is an Olympian and a world champion in cycling. Anna is the kind of person, Nathan, that if I had a Fortune 500 company, I would want her running it. I mean, she is such a dynamo. And if you look at it, so that's the team that Nathan built, right? So I think that when you build a team, you don't want four of the exact same. You need four people that are strong and different
personalities.
Yeah. And so you've got that, you know, Kate and I are more similar in a lot of ways, as far as our belief in how bike racing should happen or that kind of thing. Nathan and Anna are way more progressive and tech savvy and esports knowledgeable. And it makes a great mix when everyone has a good attitude. Right, Nathan?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 100%. And you know, the role side of things that everybody is playing, it mixes up a little bit on ZCL, which is cool. We do have a broad ability set within each individual. You know, so I mean, Anna's really good at playing both lead and color. I mean, I think everybody on the team right now, as far as our main commentary crew, can play lead, which is really great, actually, because like everyone can just step in and host a show, and that's really, really awesome. And the other side of it is everybody can kind of play color too, so it isn't like we have this set roles. We've all kind of, I think, though, developed over time to be able to handle any of that. Now it's kind of like, if you wanted to talk to the, like, next steps, it's introducing, you know, more of like technical, and like Cy Bradley would play more now that we're starting to introduce him a little bit. He's playing the insider look at tech, or the background look at who individuals are to go out and get an editorial or something along those lines. Those are kind of like next step thoughts that things are heading towards now that we kind of have this like host color team that can always put on a show and tell a story about what's happening live. Well, let's go ahead and see what's maybe happening beyond with just live, or what's the information that we need behind the story.
Sure. Well, it's really interesting to hear what all has gone into this so far and the different personalities and what they bring to the table. I think we'd like to hear a little bit more about the behind the scenes as well. You know, like a basic rundown of the type of equipment required for the two of you to run an event. The coordination and the communication, like how do you plan things? What are the technical challenges?
That's the challenge right there. How do we plan things?
I can imagine. It's crazy.
I'm just going to be straight. There's a reason why Nathan does live broadcasting and likes live broadcasting, though. Like, as far as my skill set goes as an individual, I'm the guy who likes to show up and take tests and just give me the test. Like, seriously, I don't want to waste my time with nothing. Yeah, let's just go. Let's just go. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Show up. I'm a show up guy. Admin, planning, dude, seriously, just give me somebody, just somebody else do all that for me, please. I don't need a plan.
So the guy right? who's in charge of our planning is a self-acknowledged non-planner.
Yes.
So
that's so, the but key to my success.
Yeah, no, totally. But you know what? So we all have learned how to work with that, right? And be flexible. And Nathan has so damn much on his plate. So let's just start there, all right? When you look at what Nathan's doing with the production, with lining up the guests, talking with Martin and getting all of that stuff set, talking with folks at Zwift, managing all of this, micromanaging Anna, which would never happen, not needed, Kate or Dave, is not something that Nathan has time for. He can't deal with that BS. So you need to manage that. And that so that really is perfect. Because we have an understanding, right, Nathan? Like, it's like, look, it is what it is. Don't try to change. You can't change a tiger's stripes, whatever they say, right? Play to the strengths of people. And certainly, so, I mean, one of the things that I want, you know, when you talk about the behind the scenes stuff, the tech stuff, you know, it all works. And Nathan's constantly fixing that and trying to make things better. What I love about it is the inside jokes and the times that we get to like there's times where we have things happen that are so amazingly just coincidental or and it's an absolute, I mean, whether it's talking about birds or dinosaurs or our lack of knowledge of world flags, right, Nathan? Do you still have that flag poster up on the wall?
I don't, actually. We've gotten too good, Dave. We've gotten too good at this point. So it's very rare we don't know what the flag is. But at this point, which I'm pretty proud of, to be honest, we've done a good job with that one. But the connections, though, so one thing that you just said, Dave, that really makes me think is like the amount of connections that to people in real life over and over again, the coincidences that you run into and how small cycling is. I was just in Germany and met a guy who's not really into Zwift at all, but he knew connections across the entirety of the cycling community in ways that it was that 6 degrees of separation. I felt like I knew this guy, like right off the bat, because of the culture of cycling that he was a part of. He's the guy we rented some bikes from in Germany. So downtown Munich and all these connections just start rushing in from his experiences with trade shows and Sea Otter and da-da-da-da.
Awesome.
And Felt is directly involved and the people at Felt. And it really made me understand how small a culture can be or a community can be that all has the same pursuit. But I think that's what brings those coincidences in and those background inside jokes almost in a lot of times, because it is an inside idea. You know what I mean? Does that make sense? An inside connection.
Yeah. I am curious, Nathan, how you do juggle your kids along with this. Are you like feeding kids right before starting to record? Is it a complete juggling act, or you talk about not planning, but
well,
how organized
I mean, okay,
is that?
Maybe I hold myself to a certain standard I don't understand, because I do, there is a lot of like planning, but it's all kind of like held in a storybook ahead that's already written ahead of time in my head. Right. And then like, well, it's all going to play out this way and you just adjust as you go. I mean, my studio is at home. During the summer, I'll make sure that everybody's fed, whatever it might be. They're old enough now at this point. You want an age range. We've got 8, 10, 12, 15, and turning 18 this month. So the two olders, they don't need any kind of management whatsoever. But the three youngers are all boys, and they'll kill each other. So, like, making sure that they have, you know, something to keep them occupied if a broadcast is going to be going on. All of my broadcasts, though, mainly happen during time that they'll be at school, or it's nice out and, you know, or, you know, they like gaming too. So, all right, you guys got your game time during the time that dad's going to be broadcasting. So I play my games and talk to people about it, and they play their games. Well,
they don't interrupt. They don't come in.
Okay, get this. One of the first ever, not the first ever, but we had done quite a few. So ZCL used to do all of Zwift's main page productions, like all of them. We were the provider for all of their live streams. And so I'm doing some sort of a broadcast or something. And Kyle, this must have been 4 years ago. So Kyle's 12 now. He was 8 at that time. And all of a sudden the door opens to what was the laundry room. We used to be in my laundry room is where we were with a green screen.
That's true.
And in walks Kyle, like in the middle of the Zwift main page. And it was totally the CNN interview. You know, where the guy, yeah. You guys seen the meme? And he's like, oh, get out of here. Oh, you know, and the wife comes in, grabs the kid real quick. Well, but afterward, the feedback I got was, man, you played that way cooler than that, whoever that guy was. Because I was like, oh, hey, Kyle. Hey, buddy, say hi, everyone. And it would turn, and we have somehow turned it into a cute moment, right? Everybody, oh, yeah. And it was just kind of assumed that this was okay. And so then, all right, Kyle, talk to you later. And then, without like looking at the camera, like lock the door next time, you know what I mean? Like, what are you doing here? You know, but okay. And then afterward, like, hey, if the door's locked or you hear dad talking in there, you know, and they've all understand at this point, like you don't come in to the broadcast studio. It's almost like I don't need a red live button because they understand so well how important it is that the broadcasts get done. And because they relate to and they know dad's work and they know a lot about it. They're into gaming. I'm into gaming. I do gaming with them. I teach them about live streaming. They just get it. It's just like, duh, you don't walk in on a live stream, you know? So, yeah.
My mentality, if I was a kid, would be like, dad is trapped. I can go do anything.
That's right the time now. Things get yes. destroyed.
It used
Everything
to be
gets eaten.
The only time the kids used to come up in the early days for me with Nathan was when the Xbox controller had disappeared, and Nathan used to use that. But that stopped. You haven't used that Xbox thing for a while.
No, the Xbox thing stopped because the broadcast tools changed. So
well, these kids are smart too. You know, my daughter, she knows like if my wife's a personal trainer, she's with clients. My wife is the one being asked questions. And if I'm in here in a meeting, it's like, hey, dad, can I get a donut and get on the iPad? It's like, yeah, yes, just get out of here, you know?
They know what's up.
Yeah, they know what's up. But and that also, I think that's a good transition. What I want to know about is what does a broadcast day look like? What time are you getting up?
Let's do a Tuesday, Nathan.
So let me back up a little bit, just a little bit, because this will relate to the equipment and the setup needed, the technical challenges.
Mm-hmm.
Tuesday starts Wednesday before.
Okay.
Right? Because I have to go through all of the broadcasts and figure out who's who, not the broadcast, sorry, the events. Before we even schedule the broadcasts, I have to go through. Because ZRL is an ever-changing story. Who won last week? Why did they win? Who's leading this series, right? Instead of having a single, like if I was watching the Tour de France, you watch the Tour de France. And the Tour de France has a leader. They have a sprinter's jersey. They have all of these different iconic symbols that say, here's who's leading the race. Here's who's chasing that. And you just develop a narrative around those things. Well, ZRL has that across how many different zones and how many different categories and how many different stories that you can pull out. Wednesday, I sit down and I look at all the events. I go to WTRL's website. I chat with Martin. I try and figure out Martin at Z. If you don't know who Martin Carew runs WTRL, that probably just needs to be said if you don't know who Martin Carew is. And him and Steve with WTRL have done the most amazing Zwift or virtual racing series that's ever been created. Great job on them. But, you know, I go to all of the resources I have there between Zwift Power and WTRL to figure out what's going to make sense to broadcast and why, right? And you actually see that tension about how I make those decisions on Wednesday or Thursday, come out and chat, and the feedback that we get. So that's kind of a high-pressure, emotional, almost like what am I going to do for everybody? Right? Like, I have to make those decisions on Wednesday and Thursday. Go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, and it's a classic you can't please everyone scenario. And so that's really where my heart goes out to Nathan, to tell you the truth on that, because he really does want, like, there's 14,000-ish racers in ZRL, and there's everybody would love to see their race being covered. But the challenge is what makes sense for the most people. What, you know, and trying to, in a lot of ways, it's like being a politician in that one, where you have to look and listen to all of your constituent, the people out there, and try to figure out what makes the most sense for the greater good of the, you know, Zwift community live audience. So, yeah, that being said, then if you're jumping around constantly from a C race and you jump into a race with 5K to go and you don't know any of the racers or what's going on, it's the fifth race of the season. It takes, I mean, so I'll wrap this up, but Nathan can, in about 2 minutes, you can go back and look at the season really quickly, see how the teams are standing, look at how the points have scored already today in that exact race, and then say, here we go, let's watch the last 5K, try to identify some of the people that have been the heavy hitters in this group. But that's a challenge. It really is. And you know, so you're serving then that group in that small subset. We were joking about this the other day, the genus, species, order, silo, all that stuff, right? And so by the time you get down to, you know, just serving one race, it's a real challenge. So, and some of these races have some pretty big stars in them, you know, and I think that maybe is something to focus on. It's like, hey, today we've got Ashton Lambie racing with us. He's the world record holder and world champion right now. That's kind of fun. And I think for folks that don't watch every race that we do religiously, that gives them a reason to maybe come check in and see what's going on with esports.
Awesome.
What kind of problems have you run into, like, mid-broadcast? Any, like, speaking of tech, like, what's gone wrong? Nothing's gone wrong.
Oh, my gosh. Look.
You had a bad run about 2 weeks ago.
It just is a fire. The whole thing is a fire. It's just whether or not it's a forest fire or you're just putting it out in the kitchen really quickly. So, I mean.
We want to know some of those fires.
The specifics? Yeah, gotcha. So
I think internet reliability is one of the biggest.
It can be. Yeah. But when internet goes, if it's at productions, you just say forget it. Like, it's just a reality. Like, if internet goes at the site of productions and you don't have a backup or whatever, but if internet's going with other individuals, you can kind of work with it a little bit. If you got to see if the audio is good enough to stay with it, like if they're only going to, like, let's say for some reason the internet's just struggling and it's 500 kilobytes per second that we're getting from them rather than the ability to go up to 10 megabytes per second, then it's like, okay, let's just at least only do audio with them. And live, I just do a couple of little settings to say, just give me this minimum, and I don't make the programs I use request as much from that individual. And that's a live, like, live productions is just always making adjustments. Right, it's like riding down a mountain bike trail. You are constantly watching to make adjustments in a live situation to make sure that the story is being told smoothly and you're not hitting a tree. Like, that's that, like, and
good
some
analogy.
Days it's like you're riding in mud. Some days you're riding in mud. Right?
Ken can relate to that.
Yes.
So, and other days it's smooth trail. You know. So yeah.
Some days you're on a bike path. Right.
Yeah. It's just smooth sailing, and, you know. And
so sum up the hour by hour on a Tuesday.
Okay. Yeah. Real quick. All right. Yeah. Okay. Here we go. So, you know, it starts way back then. Schedule all the broadcasts then by like Thursday, Friday at the latest, or Martin's mad because marketing isn't that great, and we definitely want marketing to be good for everything that we said we're going to broadcast. Then Monday night, I sleep in on Monday. On purpose. I don't actually have the kiddos on Mondays. My weeks are split with them. And so Mondays, I sleep in as late as I can because I know I'm going to be up until 4 a.m. And then I make sure right around like 9 p.m. on Monday, I start thinking about, is there anything else I need to do? Are all the boxes checked? Are all the splits of the stream. The reason we split the stream is that we work with Zwift as a contractor, so we don't need to do the whole idea of like trying to pull as much money out of all of these distant places as we possibly can. Like partner with YouTube or partner with Twitch. We don't have to partner with the platforms. We can just serve the Zwift community wherever the heck they want to go. And I absolutely love that. That like where you want to watch CCL, you can watch CCL. So I make sure all the restreams or the streams, I use Restream to go to all the places. The keys are all set there for every one of the broadcasts, especially Australia though, because Anna took over the Australian broadcast productions about 3 months ago. I think it was like the start of season two of 2021-22, she became independent in her ability to run the broadcast. Up until that point, I was running broadcast, and they were Anna and Kate were showing up for Australia/Oceania.
And so, that's about 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning.
2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, right. Yeah, that she kicks off. I make sure that they kick off, that all of the stream got pushed correctly. You know, I make sure that she also has any assets that are going to go across all the broadcasts. So right around like 1 a.m., around that time, I'm like, do you got the Psy video? Did you get every single asset that you needed? You know, we usually don't have to check in too much about that once we get a couple races in the season. But the first race this season, it's like, is everything set? And then Anna kicks off. She's good to go. You know, maybe I'll take a CBD or something and go to sleep or try and go to sleep for a couple of hours, right? Like I'll you know, either melatonin or something sometimes helps. And then I'm up by about 10 a.m. CST. So I do get everyone asks me, do I sleep? Yeah. You know, I kind of sit there and watch. Sometimes I sit on my phone and watch till 5 and or whatever, like what happened, because I kind of want to know what happened, because then I can talk about it the rest of the day. And then I wake up, get some food, breakfast or whatever. If I get up a little bit extra earlier, maybe I'll spin, get some interactions, socially, family-wise, or whatever, and then start my setup to make sure all my pre-productions that I've, you know, put in for all the assets, which are like pictures, videos, individuals we're talking about, making sure like every single points table that you see is manually put in. Mm-hmm. Not like the points and everything, like those are pulled, but they're all sourced in a way that they pull the data in to the broadcast software. So I have to make sure that every one of those events for those point systems are all put into separate scenes that all go into the production. So those I make sure, if I, you know, got them done on Monday, great. Otherwise, I kind of set those up for the hour and a half prior. And every single broadcast you see for the rest of the day, I'm redoing each one of those, like every single time that we're going live. Then I bring Dave in about a half hour to 15 minutes before, give him a lowdown. Hey, this is what we're covering. This race, and this race. Get it up on Zwift Power. Dave, tell me about your experience of that then, because I just told, like, here's how I direct this. Maybe you say, well, this is what this feels like, because like that might be totally different than how my direction goes.
Yeah, no, I fully respect that all of those assets and getting that organized, that really is – the building blocks for a successful show. You know, so I've done live entertainment for 20 years in my life, and you can hand me a microphone in any situation and I can make the most of it, and I'm not going to freak out or panic or, you know. And I think a lot of being a successful entertainer is people having confidence that you know what you're doing. And everyone can relax because this guy's not going to make this weird for us. And I think that we can sort of like the same thing now. So once Nathan's done all of that work, then I'll be honest, for me, it's much, much simpler in that. And again, being flexible and understanding that we could jump in and cover a bunch of different races. So as I get the information, or sometimes we'll have teams that we're featuring. I guess that's more of a Thursday WTRL thing than a Tuesday. So I'm going to stick with Tuesday. So in my case, around 10 o'clock, let's say the first race is going to be Europe, Middle East, and Africa, and that's going to be the central division or Eastern, whatever. We'll start at about 10:30 my time in Fort Collins Mountain Time. And that then starts our first block of about 3 to 4 hours of racing that's nonstop. And there's no ads. There's no going to the bathroom. Once you're locked in, it's like being a pilot of an F-14. You're flying that thing. You're not getting out of that seat. You're not going anywhere. You are doing this job. And so that's where, you know, obviously Zwift Power is here. You can go with a lot of information there and being able to start, you know, just delving into that data, seeing who's racing. And then, you know, if, as a good commentator, and this is something that both Nathan and I take a lot of pride in, is having that recall and remembering this rider's been, I mean, it happens all the time for us, is that we'll identify a rider that I, you know, who really comes to mind for me, Nathan, is Nadia Gontova, right? Where you start looking at a rider, you say, this is an exceptional talent. This is really fun to have, you know, the rider seems to have a good attitude. And you start becoming a fan, a supporter of that rider. And then what happens is that builds momentum in that group, and then more stories start getting told and more people jump up, and it becomes, that's how you make these communities turn into something very special. And believe me, it's special. There is no doubt. This is not, now we're out of COVID haze, I think, and moving into, you know, into our regular lives. And the community from esports remains incredibly strong for me. So anyways, getting back to what you're talking about, once we start at 10:30, we just roll, and Nathan will go from men and women trying to do the best job possible of distributing the love amongst the different categories. If we have a chance, and luckily the way things play out, the A's will finish, and then a lot of times by the time you've looked quickly at results, the B's have already finished. But then we have a chance maybe to catch the last couple K's of the C's, Nathan, and I know you've worked really hard at trying to integrate more and more of that. And, you know, that's really the best way to do it, because then you're getting down to at least the last 2K of that C race. And these are the heavy hitters in that group, right? They're winning the damn race. So it gives us a chance to highlight them and give them some love, too. But that one day, thing, go ahead.
One thing I really wanted to highlight, too, is like Dave's not the only one that's there. You just don't see it. Martin is there live. So Martin Carew on a ZRL day or on a WTRL TT day is also there in each of these broadcasts in the background watching.
In Discord, letting us know what kind of dinosaur that was or what continent Iceland is on, or, you know, right?
Yeah, and I'm bringing him in to productions to a live channel as well so he can watch everything that's happening. So if any data issues come up, he fixes them right away. So he's really on top of things and wants and is making sure that the event as an event organizer to be there live watching and making sure that the event is going the way that he really anticipated it to go, and then showing it off as a broadcast. I mean, that is really why WTRL is who they are. So I just wanted to highlight that he's there and it's putting that time in as well there. So, and bringing in each of the calls also, if there are going, you wanted play by play. If we do have guests, those guests have gotten calls in order to come in, because it's peer-to-peer. If you don't know what that means, they are direct calls that I use. I do not use a Zoom server. I use a direct call to an individual that comes directly into our production. And if someone else tried to jump in on that call, it would also be peer-to-peer, which would then take over that call. So everyone gets a private, their own link that jumps them into the broadcast, and then they become a manipulatable asset to the broadcast that I can put them anywhere into it at any time, rather than some Zoom call you got to split up in some sort of way or something like that. So, and then we just rinse and repeat, but to America's East and America's West for the rest of the day. And America's West is kind of the bookend of the day, and we're all kind of in that loopy, it's 2 a.m. mode that you kind of get into and have a lot of fun with those ones as well.
Yeah, because we definitely, so in my time anyways, it's kind of a 2.5-3 hour break in between that first block into that the America's East. And those America's East races are a blast. I think we might have them, well, you know, it's not fair to all the groups, but that one has a lot of personality in it. There's a lot of flavor in America's East. And partly because Anna Russell and that Riot team on the women's side of things, they're super fun to watch. I mean, we just flat out love Anna. I mean, there's no doubt about it. And so when she races, well, I always feel like we're kind of, you know, involved. So, and then we take about an hour long break, and then we rotate in, and Nathan kicks into just production mode at that point, and we bring in Kate Bates. And Kate and I have, I don't know, Nathan. There's something really special about working with Kate for me. I just really, really respect her. And we've developed a true friendship, I think, through this whole process that's been like another real highlight for me, for sure, is Kate Bates.
Yeah, and I think you too, when I watch like the reality of a world champion commentating alongside of you and seeing how you two speak cycling to people, it does bring another vibe versus like my gamers, mainly Zwift now at this point, can relate completely to in real life pro racing. I race pro still, but you guys definitely are just on the same wavelength all the time as far as that goes in the cycling world, and bring a lot more of like in real life cycling to the table.
We've been drinking
the
same Kool-Aid for a long time.
Well, you're even drinking
time,
the Kool-Aid
right?
during the day now too, though, right? Like, you're both watching the Giro and we hear about the Giro, you know what I mean? You're both watching whatever, and you know kind of like this happened yesterday, or even like somebody who's not top rank or doing something big, you kind of know some backstory that's happening there, and that gets brought into the broadcast. And it's just, it's a different vibe because of that relationship that you guys are able to have, you know, in the way that you present it to everybody there.
Yeah, so it's obvious that it's a really long and demanding day for you guys. And one of the things that's always stood out to me is that, you know, there's that level of energy, there's that level of passion that really speaks to me, because I'm really passionate about virtual cycling also. You know, so like, yeah, I'm always like fascinated as if whether you think that there's like pressure to always be on, or even to take it to another level where, you know, Nathan and Dave, you are, you know, in a lot of ways, the first impression that some people get of esports, you know, and it's almost like you're the stewards of this, you know, this like, you know, evolving sport. And I was wondering how you feel about that, whether you feel that pressure, or if you feel that it's even realistic.
So I'm going to jump in, Nathan, real quick and say not really. I mean, I totally get the question, but I don't feel any pressure at all. And I really think that speaks to collectively the effort that we have, where everyone's in it for the right reasons and nobody is, I don't know. There's not a lot of politics, Nathan, at Zwift Community Live, right? I don't feel like being manipulated or that I need to do anything other than, okay. Christopher, best way to put it, I feel this is a nice thing to say because I don't know that I've been able to say that this much in my life, but I feel empowered to be myself and do what I do. And really from everybody that's been behind me in this whole venture, that's what they've said is, you know, do yourself, and people enjoy that and have fun with it. And the only time that it's not fun is when you get too serious and critical. And I've really tried to steer away from that, you know. That's been with WTRL and the team time trials, that's been the biggest challenge, is how do you stay positive all the time when a team is all over the road and there's, you know, one rider's 1K up and, you know, that kind of thing. And you just learn, like, that's okay. They're doing their best. They'll figure this out. And, yeah, I'll throw it to you, Nathan, on that. But I feel zero pressure, Chris.
Yeah, you know, the pressure part, like, the only pressure that I'm, as far as like making sure that we're always leveling up, making sure that we're making things exciting for the viewers and telling their story. I mean, really, I was actually thinking about this on the way to record this, is for a long time, we've been, I think a lot of people in the cycling world know what Zwift is. Or are at least being introduced to it a little bit. And yeah, this might be the first time that somebody sees Zwift, and there might be a whole new crew that's coming in this next winter too. And maybe we do need to do that introductory thing a little bit more in some ways. I do want, though, people to feel like they just came and sat down at a table that's been here for a while. And that, oh, this is, you know, like, they just sat down with somebody who have a culture, who have a family, who have this, like, oh, this just, they can just walk.
These guys know what they're doing.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And they know each other, and they know the stories in the background. And one of our next focuses is going to be, look, I feel like we've got this down pat. Now let's tell the who's and the whys behind these people who are all participating in the Zwift Community Live broadcast. And that's kind of where my aim is now at this point. I don't know if that answers your question, Chris, but I feel like it answers the question behind the question.
Well, and I
as far
would
as what
say,
pressure I feel right now.
No, and Nathan, yeah, just to dovetail on that, I do feel that there's a pressure to get the broadcast up and running Now, as far as, like, I'm not going to say it's just like a breeze every Tuesday, no, because there's definitely an energy about, like, this has got to work. You know, we can't let these people down.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, and, Dave, I mean, there's a reality at moments where I'm like, there. Okay, so if you're talking about pressure to make things, like, trust me, like, Nathan gets into
pressure.
Like
yeah.
a mode. I yeah. do get into a mode, but Dave, you could probably say, like, I'm pretty, like, chill.
Oh,
like,
very
lot,
chill.
Like, right? Like, because a lot very of directors chill. Would be like, hey, shut up, da, da, da. But I'm like, hey, guys, you just got to go live. Da, 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 da. Okay, go.
100%.
You know what I mean? So I'm pretty chill regardless of the pressure. So
one of your greatest skills is the ability there, Nathan, to under pressure to just continue working and stay on task and get the show up and running. Because there's a myriad of things that can happen that can delay a broadcast or make things wonky out there. And I mean, every time it's something different, you know, and so between Martin and Nathan, they always get it figured out. Yeah. Yeah. So long-winded answer to your question, because it's funny. What is pressure, right? I mean, in some ways, yeah, definitely. In other ways, yeah, it definitely is nice to be able to. And I think the word authentic comes to mind, Christopher, as I'm going to throw it back to you. But when you're authentic, people will cut you some slack. Because they know you're trying your best. When they get the sense that you're just mailing this in, that you're just coming here to cash a check or showing up because, you know, this is what you have to do and you just want to get through it, people can sniff that out instantly, and then you have no credibility, and then forget about it. You should just move on and get a different job, I think.
Like I feel like we could go on forever, but I know that we have to wrap up. So I have
I
one more question for the two of you.
Best and worst moments, real quick though. Real quick, can I do best and worst?
Yes, of course.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So best.
Let's do that. Then save a second for me.
So best moments though. So that's a question in the script here. Best and worst moments. The worst moments is when people have a bad attitude. And you can feel it. Like, it's like, and that goes off of Dave's thing that he was just saying. When you can sense that, like, because this is a relational space. Like, we're talking, right? We all have to talk and have a conversation. And so, like, we come in and, like, if some of us are, if I'm
can't
having a rough day
attitudes.
Or whatever, right? Like, it's just, like, it just don't work. And the best moments, the funny thing is the best moments are the most life-giving, like, that just happened! Whoa! Like, and you're both. Like all of the people in the room, including Martin in the background, are kind of celebrating like this awesome moment. And it went awesome alongside with the storytelling. So it was like all of a sudden you just got this great crescendo of storytelling alongside of somebody's accomplishment. Those are definitely the best moments for me.
I couldn't agree more. That magic of when it all comes together and you talk about that, the excitement and build. Like, I think, Nathan, a lot of what you do is like being the conductor of an orchestra. You know, and sometimes you need the tuba. It's like, hey, chill out, too much tuba, you know, or whatever it is. But you ultimately, when it all comes together in that crescendo, and then you get that payoff of the finale, and it all works. That's a great feeling. It really is. It makes a tremendous impact in the positivity for a lot of people's days. And I'm just going to go back and I'll wrap up my thoughts here. But that whole thing about with esports and positivity is the best thing about esports in my mind. It's staying positive out there and continuing to have fun with this is the name of the game. So keep it up.
Well, I don't want to ruin that. I'm going to let that marinate. Any question that I could ask after those comments would pale in comparison. So I think it's a good place to stop right there.
Fantastic. This has been a great episode. Anybody else have any thoughts before we say goodbye here?
Good luck, Chris, riding your bike across.
Yeah, Chris, good luck. We'll be following along. Keep us posted on socials.
Hey, I'm going to be in your neck of the woods, Dave.
Let me know. I'll buy you guys dinner. Come on through.
That sounds great.
He's going
to eat it by then.
He's going to eat a lot. You know that. He's going to be starving.
Oh, it'll be pasta and ragu from a Safeway wherever I can track him down. But you get within 40 miles of Fort Collins, I'll come find you.
Yeah, meet him at the.
I think that we actually are. I tell you the truth.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I think we're going to be close.
All right.
But anyway, you know, I always say that the everything that I do, this podcast and the Mizunike, is all a big advertisement for the Dirt Dad Fund, and you know, to raise awareness, and you know, if me riding 4,000 miles across the country, you know, raises awareness to Dirt Dad Fund, and one person knows about that they didn't and donated to help the community, then it's worth it for me. So, If you want to pledge a day, you know, there's a Dirt Dad Fundo Across America page on the Zamunique where you can go and there's a form there and pledge a day. And however many miles I ride that particular day that you get chosen times the amount that you pledge per mile, that's what your donation will be. So check it out. We're looking forward to helping a lot of people.
Thank you, Chris. And again, Joy, great to see you. Nathan, great to see you. And David, thanks for joining us today. It's been a really special broadcast. And wanted to say thanks for joining Virtual Velo to all of our audience. And we will be back again with another interesting topic soon.